Hello and welcome to the Evolve Pipedrive podcast. We talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps and the Pipedrive marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall. I'm the sales director here at Evolve. And today it's my great pleasure to be joined by Pekka Huttunen, the CEO at Eventilla. Eventilla is a platform that offers event management solutions for events both live and online. So live in person, to remember those, and online. I'm really excited to be talking with Pekka today for a number of reasons. One, Pekka is a true entrepreneur, having run businesses since his days at the University of Oulu, where he started the adventure business Wild Guides, which saw him take people rafting, climbing, kayaking, and many other adventures that I would love to go on. And two, because Pekka has been running Eventilla for a number of years now, eight or even more now, I think, and he's led them an event business through the last 2 years. We are recording this in 2022. So the last 2 years have been very, very hard for a number of event companies. So to see him run that through there, super, loads of lessons that I'm sure he can share with us. Plus, Eventilla is on the Pipedrive marketplace, ready for you to try out in the descriptions below. So, Pekka, welcome. Please can introduce yourself and Eventilla to our audience.
Thank you, Bruce. It's good to be here and online in that sense. So my name is Pekka. I'm from Oulu, Finland, and I'm a part of Eventilla crew. So we produce Eventilla online management, event management software that helps marketers and event professionals to run their events, trainings, webinars, whatever, as easy as possible, and automate a heck of a lot of data transfer between different systems that we all use with our marketing tech stacks.
Brilliant. So we might, I'm sure we mentioned this offline, right? And you told me before we started recording that you've listened to a few of these things before. A lot of our audience is on Pipedrive and or they're considering the switch. So this is, you know, really about kind of servicing them in that regard. What does, if you can go a little bit more into Eventilla, you know, how long has it been running? I said 8 years, but would that be right? Like what's the kind of makeup of the team looking like now?
Well, Eventilla is actually a little bit older than that. We started in 2010 and we've been bootstrapping ever since. I'm not actually original founder here. In that sense, I was in a sister company in that sense that did marketing automation, email marketing, content management, and media monitoring, and transferred in 2014 to Eventilla to grow this as an independent business. Mm-hmm. In that sense, so being in marketing tech sphere for a quite a lot of long time now,
and. So what does that team look like now? So it pivoted and obviously you took over. Is that a big sales team? Is it development team? What's the?
Well, we're about a dozen people right now. So producing stuff and luckily producing software doesn't take that much of a crew in that sense. We have our own sales, marketing and development staff alongside with our customer success team.
Nice. And so what would a typical Eventilla customer look like? Do you have a certain region that you're covering? Is there a certain event industry that's kind of the strongest for you guys?
Well, naturally, we are quite strong in the Nordics as we're Finland bound and Finland first in that sense. And that's our main focus of our own sales activities is focusing with Finnish companies.
Yeah,
naturally here, but we do serve clients all around the world in that sense. Events are global things, people need to meet and so on, and the needs are pretty unified all around. So and the same thing goes with clients, so we from a man and a van up to the huge global companies, we serve all of them. But naturally, we have those kind of certain industries that really, really excel using Eventilla. And if I would pick up two here, is one would be trainings and education in that sense. running like this kind of typical client would use Eventila to run their paid online courses or first aid trainings or management training courses or those kind of things that you run out those events day in, day out, all around the year. And second would be associations and these kind of organizations, NGOs that purely exist to provide events and content to their members, whether they are free or paid. So a lot of NGOs exist to promote about their urgent things and to arrange stuff for their members. So those are like very typical Eventil clients from that perspective.
Nice. And I guess what would you say what business problem is Eventil solving there? Like what's the so you've said before, but you know, if you're setting up events, conversion is key, right? So what's the kind of business itch that you guys help them scratch?
That depends heavily on the industry and the usage case. Typically, from the NGO side or any company sides, it would be the membership or client experience. So you really want your guest or your to feel at home. So everything is branded according to the client's look and feel. So you're not going to participate in third-party vendors' software name / event. You're participating in that client's event.
Yes.
It's your event. It's your guests. It's your show. And it needs to look and feel like that. And everything needs to happen in that chosen language that it's hosted, on that currency and on that payment gateway that it's not... The money is not running through us. We don't take a fee out of that. It's your event. It's your sales, and so on. It's using that, and then on the other hand, we want to automate as much as possible. That's why I like this IT, so that you can automate a lot of stuff on the back end side. So the event management is that kind of funny side. Just like marketing, that you never run out of things to do. And it gets more hectic whenever you are closer, the closer you are to the deadline, which is typically the event where everything happens on a certain date and time, maybe in a certain venue. And I have never run into an event manager who said that, well, there's actually nothing more to do. We just wait things to happen. There's always things to do. And so there's always things that we can automate, make it easier so that the event host can then focus on things that cannot be automated. Managing the guests, managing the speakers, being there standby when something happens. Because there's always something happening and so on. Helping them to capture the data that is typically either siloed within event management software. We need to make sure that it's in a usable form, in the usable software that it's reused, whether it's for sales purposes, for marketing purposes, for accounting purposes, for statistical purposes, for surveys, whatever, that the data is there and it's automatically updated to the right system. And all the changes are updated live also.
Yeah. So from a, because I think we mentioned that the Helsinki Marathon was run, right? So from the one man band. So would you have a man in a van set up an event like this, and how would they use it? Because obviously from a pipe drive standpoint, we would really look to push sales leads and manage the sales leads, but the Eventila platform can obviously do much, so much more. But from this use case, it's really like, okay, if you've got an output that might be an engaged member of the event, that's then talking into pipe drive in this instance. Would that be right?
Well, maybe instead of a sporting event, we would take, for example, a training event. In that sense, typically user case would be so that, okay, we need something to promote, an event landing page that okay, we have an event, whether it's training or sporting event or something else, you need something to guide people into, to have a look that, okay, what you're offering, whether it's a full calendar of events and there you select, okay, I want to attend this one and so on. You need to guide people there. It needs to be on your URL and it needs to be updated. But at that time, you only need a certain amount of data there, because afterwards it's all about the conversion. So you don't want to distract people anymore. You just want to convert them as the signups, whether it's paid or whether it's free, like breakfast seminar or something like that, or webinar. You want to host them. Then you need to make sure that the people actually do sign up to the to the event. So it needs to be in their calendar. So you need to include automated calendar file so that it's automatically updated in the calendar, because if it's not in the calendar, it doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist, yeah.
Yeah. And then reminding people that, hey, it's coming up. Why should you really show up? These two COVID years has taught people that you don't need to show up in that sense. All the terms and conditions is that, okay, if you don't show up, okay, we reimburse you, or just show up to your next webinar and you have a plethora of events that you can attend at the same time. So you really need to convince your audience that, hey, you really need to show up, and this is the real value that we provide you. So reminder emails that can be personalized based on your indications to the event, that what I am looking for here, why should I really come here, giving them promises of answering their questions that they gave during up the registration phase and so on. Then you'll have your magic happen, whether it's your live event or concert or breakfast seminar somewhere. That's something that it's real person to person, whether there is a screen in between, but it's happening. Afterwards, you need to gather feedback reactivate them by inviting them back, and maybe then to have the data reused in as leads to your sales team, as subscribers to your marketing team, and so on. And that means that if you do these things manually on the back end, if you are the man in the van, you need to type every registration somewhere, you need to re-edit because they change who they their job roles, or they change people who are actually attending, and those kind of things, sending them reminders and Zoom links or something like that.
Yeah.
Registering who actually showed up to the place, and then act accordingly. So thank you for attending. Sorry we missed you. Here is our webinar recordings and so on. Hey, we have an upcoming event that you might be interested, because it's on the same topic. And then uploading, downloading all these kind of things to your accounting, marketing, CRM analytics, and so on. And all and sending out personalized diplomas. Thank you for attending, and here is your diploma to put on your I Love Me wall and to stash within your CV. And all these things can be very easily automated. So with a man and a van, you can actually run dozens of events per week from the marketing perspective. Naturally, you need to have an event host on the site and a venue. Yeah. For example, if you are running, for example, first aid trainings, that doesn't necessarily be you. You rent an event host and a venue, but you can automate everything else. So instead of having three people working on the back office to run all your events, you might need only one.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the beauty of it, the automating of the tasks that you don't need a human to be doing, right? So, and the things that are repeatable per event, so whether that's the reminders, the thank yous, the data collecting, which then isn't scribbled down, it's written down and remembered throughout the whole process. So it can be repeated and reused to get them to entice them to actually come to the event that they signed up to last week.
These are not typically problem when you are running a conference for 1,000 people and rent the Excel hall to do that, but it's a problem if your average attendance is 10 people.
Mm.
It's simply not viable to hire a event manager to do these things for an event that has 10 or maybe 50 people, and you run them day in and day out. But yeah. The system doesn't care whether it's 1,000 people or 10 people. And that makes it so that, for example, we serve a lot of media companies. Yeah. And media companies still do a lot of these kind of traditional type of sales stuff that, okay, you have a client manager and they take their key accounts and we go and see the game or see a concert or something like that and might take 2 or 5 people there and so on. And instead of collecting that data personally throughout and maybe remembering to update your CRM that, okay, I invited people from these companies and I hosted them this evening and accounting might know that I spent a lot of money on my credit card in that sense. And I'm sure that my upcoming sales came from that. So please give me bigger budget for these kind of things. We know, because it's 2 minutes to set up your personal event that looks like it's not your email, but it's your media company's landing page, but it's only for 3 people, for example, to sign up. They don't need to be contacted via phone or email. They can do the registration whenever they want. They get the emails and everything looks just as good as it did for your annual ball. In that perspective, and all the data becomes visible for the company. Instead of having your sales reps running these kind of micro events in different branches, in different cities, and in different business venues, you now get a view that, hey, what's going on? How many? Actually, we are running dozens of these kind of micro events per month, for example, that we didn't actually know that existed. And we get to actually capture the people who were invited, who showed up for these kind of events, and that's updated into your CRM, into Pipedrive. So you actually can then start to measure that what's the business impact of these micro events. Because traditionally, all that data is lost. Because it's
dark data, right? So it's there traditionally wouldn't have been a way to track it. You would have said, "Oh, I took Simon, Jason, and Hannah to the game."
Yeah,
and then, I mean, we've kind of touched upon it with a couple of clients where they take a lot of people out, but they had no idea about how much work that person had ever sent them back. So you might take contractors out on site, but the question should be, not how profitable is it to take that person to Wembley if they haven't sent you any work in 3 years, for example. So it's kind of treating that as a lead source and a mini sales campaign, right? So in that instance, would you have individual sales or sales teams run those kind of micro campaigns, or would they work with a marketing team to say, hey, I'm taking these clients out? How would you see that kind of?
That's client specific stuff.
For sure,
how they run those things, but typically we have this kind of light versions of the platform. That a single page event that, okay, I want to arrange this kind of micro event. This date, this time, this for these people, create, and I got it. You don't need to have actually even access to the system in that sense. So the sales reps can arrange events with have already pre-automated reminder emails and all the bells and whistles in the back end. end, and the marketing staff is there just for the support. So if they need something extra, they can do those kind of things on behalf of those kind of things. A lot of these kind of associations and NGOs use the system the same way. You have your local branches, and those people are not and sometimes it's their hobby, for example, to assemble some kind of local gatherings and meetings. You typically cannot even give them access to your CRM, for example, if your associations and someone you are handling GDPR stuff, and you do not want to be their IT support desk. Mm-hmm. If you have these kind of local branches. But if you have a single page which says that, okay, I'm arranging football meetup in my hometown for this NGO, for example, for this month. You don't need to be educated. You need to just know where you fill the form. But the end result is that you have all the bells and whistles, and the event is looking as good as the annual ball or the general meeting of the same NGO. And you can have all the reminders, calendar files, map inserts, and those kind of things inserted to that event. And the original host that set up the meeting can have then an online report that, okay, these people signed up, and maybe have some of the information even masked there that, okay, you don't need to have that. But on the back end, all that information is still recorded to event and can be pushed and relevant parts to your pipe drive or marketing automation, or tracked back to your member extranet or something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just got me thinking about a lot of trends in the event industry and things like this, right? So, and you a couple of minutes ago, you said about COVID. So obviously we've just gone through COVID, and I don't believe that COVID necessarily changed. Like, I think a lot of these things were trends that were coming. I think it just accelerated a lot. So what, how would you say that from like an added value standpoint, right? So, whether it was burnout of going to in-person Excel trade events, whether it was burnout of Zoom meetings, like we wouldn't be having so many Zoom meetings anyway. But I think it just accelerated the trend to that. How do we add value to the event space? So I might be wrong there. That this COVID might have changed everything, right? But I just think it accelerated a hell of a lot of trends that were probably needed to happen, certainly in the event space. What do you see has been some of the opportunities for you guys to kind of lean into, and what that will continue to kind of grow from a roadmap standpoint?
Well, I totally agree with you on that it actually just accelerated stuff, just like it did with all the business-to-business activities. Yeah. That things that can be done online will be done online. You don't fly for simple business meetings ever anymore, and those kind of things. With events, we're still unsure of how things are going to happen in the future. Now a lot of people are trying out different types of stuff. If we are past COVID, in that sense, that okay, how's our online events going to fly out now that we have an option to have also live events? We see that live events are becoming popular, but the conversion isn't that good. People are still very selective of what to attend, because there is a plethora of very good quality online content that you can consume in that sense. And then there is the challenge with hybrid events, because you have all the possibilities but also the challenges and tasks from both ends. From event management software point of view, things are growing quite heavily, and things are looking good, because as a marketer you just need to have it all. in that sense that nothing was forgotten in that sense. You're going to run live events. You're going to run online events. Possibly you're going to run hybrid events. That means that, okay, part of your audience is live with you in the same venue and part of them are online. Whether it's the full event in sync with hybrid or just parts of the event, it really doesn't matter. And people are juggling around with these kind of things. But this has proven that you cannot run these kind of events with just a simple web form or Excel sheet or single system. You just cannot have a, like in when COVID hit, it was Zoom account was everything you needed to go and run your events. And we saw that a lot of different type of events that people thought pre-COVID that cannot be arranged online are actually arranged online. For example, compulsory first aid trainings that you need to have if you're working in certain industries, those are arranged online nowadays, and all these kind of different things. And so you need to have a system that can handle all these kind of events and pull the data into a single point where you can then compare those data and give unified experience to the guest, because they are lost and confused. Especially, in the beginning, when online events were new and so on, people were really scared that, okay, I'm participating in Evolve event, but now I'm getting something us.zoom/something from email domain that I don't know, and everybody has been taught, my niece has told that never click a link that you don't know and so on, and it's in different language, and part of this is in Finnish and part of this is in English, and this is in blue, and the company that I'm visiting is green and so on. So all these things need to look unified, and the brand experience need to be there so that the people can convert, because there's so many options for people. So you don't want any hiccups. Everything needs to be brand aware and so on. So you need people to participate the same way to all these different type of events, whether it's live or hybrid or one time or huge one. They all need to look and breathe the brand. And you need to capture the data into the single place so that you can see that, okay, these options do work, and I'm capturing valuable leads from this media, and our sales are getting results from that, and these kind of events work, and these cost a lot of money, but they work, and so on. So you can have comparable data, and the data cannot be lost in those silos, and nobody's downloading and uploading information, just like sales reps are not going to update the CRM just by telling them to upload it.
No, notoriously lazy salespeople is what I hear most of the time when I talk to businesses every other day.
Let's not look at my personal pipeline activity.
Yeah. What does that mean for the roadmap of Eventila, right? So do you see this as, because you said you've obviously been from bootstrap to kind of where you got to now, is it 11 to 12 employees? Do you now see like an open road? Are you defining, you know, you've understood what your service, you know, your key points that you're servicing these customers? Because you touched upon things like post event surveys and things like that. So is it more features or is it just kind of refining the user experience? What does the roadmap look like?
Well, the roadmap looks like in that sense that we're improving in the areas that we're really good already in that sense. So automating and transferring data to our third-party systems also on the map so that we are a very good match with any company that has whatever type of technology stack up you already have.
Yeah.
We're just filling there the void of event management so that it can serve your marketing team and sales team and so on from the event point of view. And then supporting your client experience so that they get the whole shabam from the same place. From the tool perspective, we're gonna touch up with the user interface. We have the demo also and in YouTube, and I'm sure that there's gonna be the link. And there's, for example, glimpses from our survey tool user interface that we're going to also implement to the event management side.
Yeah. So what Pekka has talked, we recorded a demo, so that'll be in the links in the description below. But you can get a more in-depth one if you, again, follow the other link in the description to get your own personal one, because we went quite high level. But we certainly, we cover the platform and things like that, which is quite a nice segue to. We cover the platform and how it integrates with Pipedrive and some of the use cases there. So how do they integrate? Is it a simple integration? Is it a complex integration? Do people need a degree to integrate the two things?
Well, it's pretty simple forward. You need Eventila, and then you just get the Pipedrive integration from the marketplace.
Perfect.
And then we just map out, okay, which type of field you want to capture in the Pipedrive and who you do want, who you do not want to capture in your leads, for example.
Yes.
You don't want to have your sales reps calling to your existing clients, and so on, or just new people who are actually from existing client companies in that sense.
Yeah.
For example, we arrange our own webinars and use that as a lead capture in our own Pipedrive. We have been using Pipedrive. I just checked. January 2012.
Nice. Okay. So you've seen some changes at Pipedrive as well, though.
A bit, yeah. We have been a bit of lazy to capture all the new features and so on. So especially during the last, let's say, 24 months, so much has happened on Pipedrive that it's amazing in that sense. We use it as primarily as a tool for our sales team, and it's worked. Perfectly, and now we're using the our own integration between the systems, it's helping our sales now to capture better those actual leads from the webinars and mapping those out. So it's working really great.
Yeah, and in terms of integration, so it is on the Pipedrive marketplace. We'll be sure to have links in the description below for that demo. But yeah, we would stress on getting your own personal demo, because we go quite high level, which is good, but there's so much to cover, right? So
events can be so complicated, and each user case, it's really simple and straightforward and so on, and it's totally different from the 2 million different user cases.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Everybody needs to have that, okay, it needs to work like this and that and that and so. It's always just, okay, this switch, yes, this switch, no, and so on. And to getting done so that you don't need to touch up on every registration and every guest and every event.
Yeah, understood. In terms of, you said right at the beginning that you became CEO, is it 2014? Is that right? Or
yeah, 2014.
So what was that journey like? So if you were in the kind of that kind of bootstrap startup space, what then led you, or what were the circumstances to then you say, actually, I can now run with this and drive Eventila over the next however many years?
I don't know for the foreseeable future, but but anyways, I was business director running in international setting up international offices for the previous company Liana Technologies, and I was already selling Eventila as a service to some of the international clients and so on, and so I knew the team, I knew the product, and it was a very good product in a technical point of view, and it solved a lot of these kind of cases already back then, what people in the marketing space had, like we have an upcoming event, we need to set up a landing page for it, so we need to talk to a IT company to set up us a website, and it cannot cost a lot of money because it's only for one-time case, and we are actually selling tickets, so we need to hook up a payment gateway there and so on. Hey, we have a good technical tool to do this, but it needs marketing and sales experience and a lot of these things rounded up quite well, and I was quite happy to take my laptop and change a few desks to the left.
So did you know the co-founders, or did you know the founders at the time? And
we actually the company shared a part of founders, not all of them, but so on. So it was not a switch in the family in that sense. And technically, it's not a spin out, but it could be.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, nice. No, I always like to hear how people, you know, got into that space. And I love that you kind of were a product advocate, or, you know, certainly a partner in some sense. So you would have heard firsthand from customers or would-be customers, or certainly prospects, like the gaps in the market. Did that drive you into, so when you did become a CEO, did that drive you to some of the changes that you knew you had to make from a technology standpoint, like early doors?
Yes. Yeah. There were parts of those, and as a user also, before becoming an advocate and also maybe even a salesperson for the tool, I knew and sensed that, okay, which are these kind of pain points that this tool so easily helped me to do and solve. And to see that how quickly people were able to adapt and take the tool and do things that took a whole lot of time beforehand, wherever in the globe there might be, arranging customer symposiums in Dubai or running events in Hong Kong. It was all the same challenges and majority all the same solutions that a specific tool could take. Naturally, during all these years, we have a zillion more features to host these kind of zillion requests that event managers have, but the end result is still there. I need to run something and I need the computer do it for me. Yeah. And these are the conditions that I want this thing to happen.
Well, brilliant. Thank you for your time, Pekka. You just said there about those million and one things that an event manager wants or needs. So what's from the event to the platform, what's your favorite use case that you've seen someone come up with that were just ingenious or just really blew you away?
That's a cool question because they come from all perspectives, but I do love sales. I'm a salesperson by heart.
Yeah.
So I really like those kind of things. With events, it's so important that because there is so much to choose from and our span to focus on things is so short. So you need to convert people whenever you get a glimpse of their attention that, hey, I have this kind of event. I have this amazing piece of content that is really useful for you. I really want you to consume this content and to sign up for this event. So the most important thing is to convert that people. So make it really, really easy for them. Have no hiccups. Everything in unified with the brand. But as soon as you have that captured, why not take it a step further? Ask optional questions. Do not force people to give out too much data because they just move on to the next thing, to the next notification on their screen. But capture that data that they are willing to give, because events are it's a trade-off. I give something from me, which is typically personal data, and you give something in back. It's a transaction. You give me content. You give me, whether it's that concert in Wembley, which is tangible something, or webinar content, I'm willing to give something that you need to produce that for me. For example, I will give my actual job description. I will give you my actual contact phone number, which I would never ever do if I'm subscribing to a newsletter. And the more interesting lead I am to a company, the better educated I am to not give that information, for example, for purely marketing purposes or for a white paper download.
Yeah.
But if it's an event, especially if it's a live event, I'm more inclined to give out my actual data and maybe even actual interests. I am interested in, for example, mapping out new CRM. And this is something that is going to happen within the next 3 months, 3 to 6 months, maybe in a year. I'm not actually that interested. Yeah. So you can gather so much richer data during these kind of event registrations than you could possibly do with pure marketing or simple signups.
Yeah,
that can be then used automatically to drive the people actually to come into your event. So you can give back hints about what they gave during the registration, whether it's these kind of pieces of content. Hey, you were interested in Pipedrive somebody else could have a different system that you would talk in the same event and naturally have them personalized. So hi, Bruce. Welcome to our event name in that sense. Or it can be those kind of handy things that are really needed to make that event happen. For example, reminder that, hey, don't drive to office this morning, SMS 1 hour before, drive to our event, we have a breakfast waiting for you.
Yeah.
Or you opted in to pick up from the airport, the bus leaves here, this is the number for the driver, and so on. So you can automate these kind of things. And if you understand the value that you are getting if you give up this kind of information during your registration or after the registration that, okay, I am flying in and these are my preferences, those are solid gold for marketing and sales, especially for sales.
Yeah, I think it's just that the value exchange point is really interesting there, right? From a how much are you willing to give away when you sign up for a white paper download or a newsletter versus an in-person event are people more willing to give more for an in-person event, do you think, versus a Zoom event now? Because I think all of those touch points can be gold for either increasing conversion or increasing, you know, better data for the sales and or marketing team internally, and or just making the visitor, the event guest, making them have a much better experience before, during, and or after, right? So it kind of helps everywhere along. So my question there was, would people hand more data across for a live person event, do you think, versus a Zoom event now? Or is it kind of, we don't care anymore?
Well, I think people care, and as more and more sales activities and marketing activities are happening to at least to C-level people all the time, people are worried that, oh, where do I actually give up my personal information in that sense. So people are very on where do they put and what kind of information do they put that kind of information. Mm. Generally, for a live event, people seem to value the event content more. So they are willing to give out more information, and they understand that, okay, they need this information to produce a better content for me in that sense. So in that sense, but it can happen also on online environment. If you market that data exchange well enough, we need your personal information because we want to produce content that is relevant to you, or we want to match up with some other visitors or something like that. We want to provide you one-on-one after the event or something like that. Yeah. So then you are more inclined to give up relevant data to that. But if it's just a Zoom webinar listening about some topic, you might just want to give out an email and nothing else, because you understand that, okay, I don't need, they don't need anything else to produce that content for me.
Yeah.
So as a marketer or event host, you need to tell why, and then people are willing to give that afterwards, and then you have a second option after the event. So ask those kind of questions in your post-event survey. Okay, was this relevant to you? How relevant? How inclined you are to talk to, for example, a sales rep? Are you interested in a demo? Are you this and that and that? And you enrich that your client data with that. And yeah, then it's all about imagination, how far you can go in with this
crystal
horn in that sense, how you want to map this out.
Yeah, it's just got me thinking, because the more data you collect, the more there's more opportunity there is to delight someone, but also to really turn them off. And and what you're playing with there is your trust. So as an event host, if you keep collecting data just to remarket to them, and you're getting phone calls from people, you're like, I've told you no phone calls, for example.
Yeah.
So the trust piece there is with the event host as well. But yeah, I it's fascinating. In terms of, if you're just getting started as an event manager, kind of getting started, what would be the top tips, like, you know, things to get right? And then also, if you're excelling, if you want to excel as a event manager, what are some things that, you know, Eventilla can really help you do there? So again, getting started and how to excel.
Getting started is trying. So just like with everything, it's you learn by doing. And with online tools, that means that, hey, if you get something wrong, no worries.
Yeah.
Edit, change, make a draft, scrap it, make a new one, and just try out. So it's so different than in tangible world where you need to buy stuff and use that. So it's just software.
Yeah.
So just run with it. For a more seasoned professional, don't be afraid to hook up different kind of systems to allow you to automate these kind of things so that you can get the participant data into your marketing or CRM and so on to build the platform piece by piece and then having these kind of the one tip that is that we use because it's really good in our software is that you can make these kind of templates for your different type of events, and you always start by not with a blank, but with a product that is 99% already there.
Yeah,
and that just change what is needed for this particular user case. So, we arrange webinars and training. So just change the dates and host name and click and publish, and that's it. And you have already pre-scheduled and automated everything that is related to that. And then you just need to show up to your recording station 10 minutes before the event and put the lights on and everything's running.
Yeah. Yeah, so even from the end user's experience, the tacit knowledge of joining a training webinar, they know the type of user journey. So I click here, sign up here. Yeah, so it's that. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. with every single event, that makes sense. And we always ask this because we know Pipedrive themselves do listen to this. But have you got any pipe? And obviously, I didn't know you guys were on Pipedrive. But any Pipedrive feature requests that you would like to see?
Well, I would be glad if I would be aware of all the features. Currently, there's so many, but fix the Trello integration so that it can copy your Trello templates.
Okay.
We run a number with our internal activities with Trello. So
that they have just up about 2-3 weeks ago, they've just updated the workflow automation to include a trigger and action to Trello. So there might be something there.
Yeah, we're using that.
Oh, okay.
There's a small piece missing, but I know they're working on. So maybe in the next iteration, there comes that option also.
There we go.
Very, so very us specific stuff.
Yeah, no, I like it. Cool. Is there anything else that you'd like to touch upon before we sign off today?
I think I covered enough. So
reach
up to if you want to hear more about Eventila or events or how we use Pipedrive and whatever this comes, we're here to help.
Brilliant. Yeah. So we'll be sure to have links to the demo that I went through with Pekka earlier, and a link to get your own personal demo to kind of go a bit more in depth for your own internal use case. And there'll be discounts to the event, to the platform as well below. But Pekka, once again, thank you so much. It's been super, super pleasure. You've been listening to the Evolve Pipedrive podcast. We talk about all things Pipedrive, sales, and apps on the Pipedrive marketplace. Thank you very much, Pekka.
Thanks.